listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicky.
Hello
Hunter.
And welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
Michael Kelly here with us as well.
Hello, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. Now, to get us started on the right foot, let's read our abbreviated nine principles of belief. First one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empowers the human spirit and enhances the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the entire expanded version of these nine principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we appreciate those who join us live tonight. Welcome you to you, and welcome to those of you listening to the archive. It's good to have everybody with us tonight. The topic which I'm here for tonight is a topic that came out of a discussion that Michael and I had yesterday in anticipation of this program, and Michael had brought up in the concept of independence because, you know, tomorrow's July 4th in the United States, which is Independence Day. And so we got discussing it a little bit, and this topic kind of grew out of that brief discussion on gaining independence. And what I want to do is explore it a little bit. And the specific concept of here on independence is basically the independence that we gain from the metaphysical humanist mindset, spiritual philosophy. I mean, we just read the nine principles of belief. And when you think about it, you know, subscribing or adhering to the nine principles of belief, to metaphysical humanism, it frees us. It gives us our independence from so much. For example, it helps us, it frees us from obsession with religious beliefs and, you know, and unhealthy religious concepts. You know, the idea of worshiping some other sentient being is unhealthy, is woefully unhealthy. It is not healthy. What are you trying to say? It's not healthy? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not a healthy concept. So when we understand that there is no sentient being that would allow other sentient beings to worship them, at least not anybody who's spiritually enlightened, when we understand that, we're freed. We have our independence from that kind of unhealthy thinking. And there's so many other ways too. And so Dr. Hunter, Michael, you jump in anytime you feel the need. I just wanted to explore the ways that we are freed and given our independence from the spiritual philosophy of metaphysical humanism.
Well, I'd kind of like to hear what Michael, because the two of you were having this discussion yesterday, so I kind of like to hear what Michael has to say on it.
Well, I think what we're really talking about is independence and freedom from irrationality. When we talk about this sentient God being, you know, how would it conduct itself, a lot of times we have a lot of fear, a lot of angst, and a lot of there's a lot of power loss when it comes to thinking, how does this hypothetical supreme being want us to behave? It has ruined many lives over the years. Of course, in the Abrahamic faiths, it has largely expressed itself most recently in homophobia and people feeling that they need to live in the closet. That's fear of an irrational being, fear that you're going to be persecuted by your God and by your community. And so what we are seeing is independence from that irrational thought process, independence from that fear-based philosophy, and embracing that freedom that comes with it, the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to take your power back, which was always yours. And that's absolutely what we're talking about.
You know, I remember my first stages of gaining independence of thought. And I got to tell you, sometimes there's a price to pay. You know, the more independent you get in your thinking, the more you ask questions, the more people around you don't like it. Like, that's the flip side. But even at a very young age of trying to disseminate information, and like it's just the way my mind worked, and I wanted to know that I had my own mind. But as you know, as life went on, we end up by osmosis taking on some of the traits of, you know, the society, the social norms and friends and nuances. And when I started to recognize that, and keep in mind this, you know, was over a period of years, and I started to realize that, and I said, whoa, you know, I mean, through your upbringing, you're taking on the environment and trying to assimilate, so to speak, and get along, but your individual voice is in there. And if you're listening to your spirit, I think, your own conscience, your own ability to decipher information, you kind of have a choice of assimilate like the Borg, or say, no, I really want to be who I am. So even as I got older and realized by osmosis, I was still, you know, kind of still a little bit too much like the crowd. I pulled back and I went deep within myself. And I've probably done that a few times in my life where what I call it is collecting my spirits, like all my own energy. And because it's so easy in this world, and as we go through our daily lives, to get drawn in, so to speak. So it's like always keeping your head up. And I know now, I think in the last number of years, and the older I get, I do it every day. It's just that moment. And some people can call that a meditation. You can call it whatever you want. But it's checking in with myself to say, whew, no, I am me. And I live inside myself from the inside out. And to me, that's independence. It's not about how well I can function to earn money or, you know, pay bills and, you know, all of that kind of thing. It's the independence of mind. So I really appreciate what you've said there, Michael.
Good. Michael, follow up?
Nothing that comes immediately to mind.
Okay. I wanted to give you a chance to follow up if you wanted to. All right. So good points, great points. And, you know, many, many of you who are listening to this are either in the degree program at either IMHS or TFU, or you've completed it, you've graduated. And the one thing that I read with the doctoral dissertation assignments that we get, the doctoral thesis that the students will do, when I read them all, and the one kind of the common thread is essentially how the students are talking about how they were freed from all kinds of different stinking thinking, you know, freed from toxic relationships, freed from toxic thinking about themselves. You know, they gained confidence, they gained a healthy self-concept, and so in the process they gained their independence from toxic relationships, toxic thinking, negative self-talk, and all these different things. And that's such a beautiful thing. In fact, they regain their power. That's what it is. You know, when we gain our freedom, when we gain our independence, we are taking our power back and we're living our life as we see fit and we're doing no harm and we're doing the right thing and we're making a difference and we're setting a good example to those around us in our within our sphere of influence. That's what gaining your independence is about. You're not tied to unhealthy thinking in a myriad of ways. There's so many toxic relationships out there. I've had my own in the past. I mean, I learned from that. And people will fight. They'll try to control each other. And that's another area we've gained freedom from is the need to control. We've gained our independence from the need to control other people or tell them what to do or how to live. And that includes the people close to us, our partners, our friends, family, whoever. We don't have that need anymore to control them, or we shouldn't have that need. We understand that everybody is on their own path and that everybody has a right to all the good things in life, the same as everyone else, no more, no less. Good thoughts. Go ahead.
I love what you said there about independence and about control and relationships, and I think that hits home for everybody at some point in life. And it's not just nine principles of belief. I want to inject this. It's the going through the bachelor's programs. And as you said, Dr. Kelly, all these little nuggets and you explain them so well. So if I have the right to choose my life, then you have the right to choose your life. And when I'm no longer controlling you, I know then that I'm controlling me. And I like the word management better. That is massive independence. What it does, though, it makes us look at why we needed to control in the first place. You know, whether we have some righteousness going on or, you know, I mean, then we have to own our stuff. But what happens, I think, though, if we do it in a good way, we're doing it in a way without self-judgment. And, we kind of messed up in the past or we didn't know any better. And you have to embrace that because that's part of the journey as well. But not to impose or control on others. And I think the biggest thing in relationships that I have witnessed, especially in counseling all these years, is how people try to impose. And that, and even a simple question where a woman is confiding something with me and I say, well, did you talk to your husband about that? Oh, no, I can't do that. Well, it lends to dishonesty. And then it lends to fraudulence. So the risk of not embracing independence and that individuality means we're living in a false reality. And we're never happy. We'll never find joy or contentment in a place that's not real. And sometimes it means owning our stuff. And part of that is people don't really want to know who their partner is because they know they won't like it. They know they won't like what they see, and then they'll have to make a decision, and a decision that they don't want to. And, of course, in the program, Dr. Kelly, you talk about cognitive dissonance, you know, not wanting to give something up. So right. I'll believe what I want.
Right.
And I don't want to face that truth because then I'll lose my own belief system and my reality. But the beauty of the metaphysical journey is that autonomy to the right to individuality and independent thinking. And then once you connect with that, I know who I want to be and I know where I stand, like there's darkness in everybody, but I know where I stand with myself, then it starts to emanate a brighter light. And the more people that do that, we automatically know then how to get along. And that's where I'm winding back to the nine principles of belief, where now we can join to say, hey, what are my boundaries and my parameters, my morality? What are those kind of key words, key points, phrases? Oh, well, we are all joined by these very simple, and that's what they are, they're very simple, moments of, yeah, why didn't I think about that to put those, to articulate what I knew in my heart, but now it's in my intellect, so we can refer back. And that's what the nine, principles of belief do.
Good. And there's two things you mentioned that I want to just comment on too. You mentioned you know, we've all done things, we've made mistakes, and that's another area that metaphysical humanism helps us with our independence, gives us our freedom, because we're not tied to unnecessarily guilt. We understand that we are perfect the way we are. We all make mistakes, and that's fine. That's how we learn. We've all made mistakes in the past, but the thing is, and some of them probably we cringe at today, but we have to understand that we did the best we could at the time with the knowledge, the resources, and the level of awareness that we had at that moment. What else could we have done? So you see, we're freed from unnecessarily guilt. There's no value in guilt, folks. You know, that's what we teach. There's only value in regret. You know, you did something you regret, fine. Learn the lesson, make amends if necessary, and move forward guilt-free. So that's one area that we gain our independence from. Another area, and we've talked about this on the program, is from somebody else's identity. So many people are in these toxic relationships, and they, in one or the other, has adopted the other's identity. And in a sense, or in effect, in essence, they are possessed. You know, there are so many possessed people on this planet that it's not even funny. But they're not possessed by spirits or demons or ghosts or anything like that. They're possessed by other people. And just like that lady, Dr. Hunter, that you mentioned who couldn't talk to her husband about whatever, who possesses her? Well, he does. She's adopted his identity. And that is so true for so many people, that they can't express themselves. They, you know, oh, they do. They'll get upset or whatever. But they've adopted the identity of essentially the stronger personality or the abuser. And that's what metaphysical humanism frees people from. It gives them their power back.
You know, I might add in here to move forward, and what happens then when you do gain your independent thinking. We're having to deal with a lot of bonkers things in the world, and that requires an insightfulness to navigate. It doesn't necessarily mean you're manipulating situations or people, but you're being strategic to understand that many people are where we used to be. And how do you navigate around that, or through that, over that, under that, and without being everybody's therapist, that is. And I think that there's appropriate behavior in the workplace, appropriate with family, appropriate with friends and relationships, but it's to have a compassion and how to I like the word navigate, because, again, it's not a sinister manipulation in as much as it is a compassionate strategy to work with people who are going through their stuff, you know, and that's really important. Because on the flip side, like I said earlier, when you have an independent thinking, independent mind, you know who you are, it's very intimidating to other people. So you got to just, you know, soften the energy a little bit and get along through the world and navigate.
We just call it self-possessed.
Yeah, I know. People don't like it.
They have a problem with people who are self-possessed, and they can be self-possessed. People can be intimidating to others, especially those with little an unhealthy self-concept. And I have to just comment on one thing. You mentioned this independent thinking twice, and that brought back a flood of memories. From when I was Jehovah's Witness, there were so many times when the admonition would be, avoid independent thinking. We don't want to be pulled into the independent thinking, because that's satanic. That's what Satan did, you know. So we don't want to have this independent thinking outside of the organization. We want to, you know, and they really drilled that into it. Now I can see it for what it is. It's a freaking cult. You know, of course, independent thinking is dangerous to a cult, and that's what they didn't want. And that's what everybody should do, is think for themselves. They don't want people thinking for themselves, but that's what we do. That's what metaphysical humanism teaches, is to think for yourself, and thereby you gain your independence. Michael, did you have something you wanted to comment on?
Before you do, if
those listening live would like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room. Michael, take it away.
Oh, I was just going to add that a lot of a lot of what it sounds like we're talking is about how to have healthy, sustainable lives and relationships, as opposed to these unhealthy ways of behaving that really burn you out emotionally, and they deplete your energy, and they have high entropy.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Kelly, when you were saying, it's not just about a church and that the church doesn't like independent thinking, the society doesn't like independent thinking. Yeah. The workplace likes independent thinking so long as you benefit them and make them money.
Yeah.
You know, and so they love that being taking initiative. You know, they love that, you take this on. They love that, but don't think outside their box.
Right.
And this is what we have to navigate around. I think this is where there's always a cult.
Well, and I think it's prudent to say that there are situations where we do want to have more of a team mindset. For example, you know, if you're working for a company that has a certain philosophy and a certain approach to business and all that, well, you got to do, it's their company. You know, if you work for them, they're paying you to do their job. So you do it their way. That's not so much what we're talking about when it comes to this independent thinking. You know, so there are times when you got to work with the team, and you got to go with the flow that, because that's the way it needs to be for there to be a team spirit and unity and all that. But what we're talking about here is more the spiritual aspect and life aspect, where we think for ourselves and we walk our own path and we fulfill our own destiny. We fulfill our own purpose and mission in life. So,
you know, if I can benefit others in some way, what I like to impart to people is, I know what I like, I know what I don't like, I know correct action, and I know an action that I won't participate in. And I love it with Dr. Kelly's, you know, adage of preference, yield, principle, stand up. And those are like the little ways of I retain my independence. And And I'll just give you an example of my grandkids were a little bit younger. My grandson, who's younger, was trying to push me one day for cookies. And my older granddaughter said, when Mormor says no, it's no. Get used to it. And she walked away. Because independent thinking also knows that you are what you say, you are what you think. And that your thinking, your actions are the same. Your thinking, your words, your actions are the same. You have the follow through, and that you're consistent in that. So I just wanted to, you know, add that in, is this is how we can better check in. Others will recognize that. And above all else, you will be known for integrity, trust. You will be known to be the one people will go to, the ones who will trust you more in difficult situations. You'll come up with strengths in yourself you didn't know before. And so I just wanted to add that. It's okay to know. You know, somebody asked me not long ago, he said, you're really hard to get along with. You know what you like and you don't like. And I go, yeah, and what's your point? Like, you know. No, you can't make me eat things I don't want to eat. You can't make me do things I don't want to do. And that's difficult for people, because in the world, people have become so accustomed to passive-aggressive behavior. And passive-aggressiveness is everywhere, the manipulations, the strategies, the emotional thinking. And that's where, when you get a handle on that, you'll be able to see it for what it is and have more compassion, but you'll be stronger inside. So,
good. Yeah. Michael, any follow-up comments?
No, nothing at the time.
Okay, I just want to hit one area here real quick, and then we'll move on to our cards, our Oracle cards. Dr. Edward had mentioned the company's culture, and I remember my dad used to talk about culture. He used to teach culture and into companies, and basically, what is culture? Well, what does it mean? Well, culture is, it's the way we do things around here. That's what culture is, and every company has their culture, And, of course, some companies can be very rigid, do your job and don't question us, as Dr. Edward mentions. And that can be very rigid. And so, you know, that's not going to encourage a lot of free thinking and a lot of fresh ideas in that kind of a culture. So I just want to mention that everything we do here, we talk about, we do within reason. And so we have to agree on a set of rules in order to have a successful society, right? Rules of the road, for example. I mean, we all agree that when a traffic light is red, we stop. Most of us agree. And when it's green, we go. I mean, that's kind of the rules that we all agree to abide by. And that's the same. It's the same with everything else that we do. So there has to be a set of rules that we all agree to that we can smooth sailing, you know, so that we can all coordinate and get along. And that's true with businesses too. Businesses have to have that set of rules, and so to speak. So regardless of everything we talk about, always, you know, think about it, think for yourself, and be reasonable about all this.
Well, we have some people who would like some cards drawn, and all Dr. Right. Angie is up first. Michael, would you like to draw a card for Dr. Angie?
Absolutely. And Dr. Angie, I pulled number 15, Belief Systems and Knowledge Base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
That's a good one. You know, Dr. Angie's talking in the chat room right now about in her community, and it just takes one voice. And, you know, there's a lot of other kind of religious dominance in her area, but other people are waking up. And just one voice, she's finding that other people are starting to look at options too. And further to that, saying she's had to break some patterns of staying silent, but then getting so fed up she explodes. And I get it. But there, you'll come out the other side, like as the pendulum swings, and you'll find that middle ground of knowing in yourself. And I think that card was pretty good for you about a little belief system of, you know, being in the center of that pendulum as it's swinging and, you know, taking a breath. So it's a good discussion, though. Dr. Edward, I pulled for you number 7, self-mastery. You know, it's all in line with what we've been talking about tonight also. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. Right in line with what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Wendy is next, Michael.
All right, and for Wendy, I pulled number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or when you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Good card.
It's a good one. Always about the facts, isn't it? Sure is. You know, we have to always explore those facts. Well, when Helen is up next, Helen, and I kid you not, I pulled two cards at once. They didn't want to come out individually. And it's number 40 and 41. Like,
really?
Back to back.
Wow.
And and they came in that order, by the way. Like when I flipped them over, 40 and 41. So the first one is relationships, and the second one is communication. So I hope at some level this resonates with you or it speaks to you in some way. And again, even if it's not about yourself, it could be something in your life you're dealing with. So here goes. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They're not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. And don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So it's not always about people, it's about things also. The second card, communication, a really powerful backup message here. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. So, I mean, it's a double message, I should say.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes sense to you, Helen.
Good. So I think that was the last, wasn't it? Or do we have anybody else?
You know, I just pulled a card for the group, if I may.
Good. Yep. Go ahead.
Number 17, reinvention.
Good.
And we haven't pulled that one in a long time, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it's appropriate for tonight.
I do.
Nothing's more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention. Reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept, from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the question, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life could be reinvented? And sometimes it's about what else in myself should be reinvented. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot to me. So no matter how old we get, we're always looking at these tiny little particles of our creation, you know. So reinvention, I love it.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's a great card to end the program with and to come after our discussion and after these other cards. So excellent. Well, we appreciate everybody's time tonight. We appreciate everybody joining us live and those joining us with the archives. And of course, tomorrow is July 4th in the U.S., so happy July 4th to those in the U.S. And I'm sure there'll be even more fireworks tomorrow night. They're already trying to get started around here. You probably heard it. Anyway, folks, again, thanks so much. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael Kelly as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.